listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have with me once again Eric Coffin. He is the editor of HRA, Hard Rock Analyst. That's a family of newsletter publications, and you can learn more about his service and sign up for his letter by going to HRAAdvisory.com, HRAAdvisory.com. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Thanks for having me again, Jay.
Yeah, it's good to have you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in the flesh here in a couple of days or the Metals Investor Forum. Now, I wonder, maybe just because you really have a lot of good insights about the money markets, the markets in general, but what are your thoughts real quickly? Here we had already the Fed seemed to be trapped in a corner, sort of in a trap. It couldn't raise rates very much or the markets would tank, and it could not raise rates because of the inflation problem. So now you add a war in the mix, and just like to get your quick thoughts. Spend a minute or two, perhaps, and tell us what your thoughts are.
You know, if anything, the Fed is more trapped now. I mean, I think we all know that, you know, food and energy are really the largest components of the mm-hmm. of the inflation reading, and obviously with what's happened with the oil price and what's happened with wheat and some other grain prices, I don't see how. And I was a guy that was sort of inflation's at least half transitory a few months ago, kind of out the window now. I mean, I'll be surprised if inflation doesn't tick up at least a couple more percent. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping food prices don't do what they do internationally, because if they do, it's going to be really bad in mm-hmm. some of the developing countries, and we could see a repeat of the Arab Spring. But locally, the Fed, you know, the Fed's stuck because the simple truth is, if inflation ticks up a couple more points, that just means the average consumer, you know, in the States, and it's the same in Canada, will be falling farther and farther behind because they're not getting mm-hmm. wage increases that match inflation. The mm-hmm. Fed has to try to fix that. But to me, it feels more and more like the simple increase, massive increase in volatility and uncertainty, the odds of the North American economy rolling over later this year, you know, they're getting higher by the day.
Uh-huh.
And as we all know, when you've got a central bank tightening, and I do think they're still going to tighten next week, and it'll be 25 mm-hmm. points, I think they're going to try to tighten more because they're trying to close that gap, trying to push inflation over the top. But the problem is, when you're a central bank tightening into a decelerating economy, mm-hmm. the odds of a policy mistake basically go up by an order of magnitude. Uh-huh. And by policy mistake, I mean the one rate too many that rolls mm-hmm. the economy over and starts a recession. Mm-hmm. I think we've got to figure that the odds of a recession later this year are now at least 50-50. And mm-hmm. I don't think they were anywhere near that 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, very interesting. Well, certainly you'll be talking more about these issues when you give your talk. And I guess that's going to be on Thursday, and you're talking, right before I am. I think it's a block before me. What is it?
About right after lunch. Yeah, right after lunch, Thursday and Friday. One thing I would tell people is, if you go to metalsinvestorforum.com, we haven't been advertising the fact, but because it was a bit up in the air as to just how much opening would be done by now with the COVID and everything, if you go, and even if you're not going to Vancouver this week, if you go and register for MIF, once you've registered, it will ask you whether you want to register in person or online. So we will actually be live streaming this one. We just haven't advertised the fact we're going to be doing that. So even if you're out of town, you can still watch Jay in all his glory from wherever you happen to be sitting.
Yeah, right. My glory. Well, I don't know if anybody's glory, your glory maybe. Eric, I would much rather be sitting back there listening to you than being upstage talking, that's for sure. But in any event, Chen was talking about nickel a little bit ago. I mean, and some of those markets. What are your thoughts? I mean, this war, who knows how this is going to shake out? I mean, David Stockman was talking on my show the other day about last week. In fact, he was talking about how a lot of goods from China go by rail over through Russia, through the Ukraine, into Europe, and none of that is going there. That everybody's trying to get it on ships or on airplanes, and the cost of shipping is going up dramatically. I mean, everything is just a mess, it seems. But
yeah,
what are your thoughts?
It's just, you know, the supply chain issues that look like they were starting to slacken have just become a complete shit show again.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to end anytime soon. I mean, even if there's a resolution, whatever that would be, in the next week or two in Ukraine, and I seriously doubt that there would be. The only resolution I could see near term would, unfortunately, be Russia bombing it into oblivion. But, you know, the Rubicon has been crossed now for Russia. I mean, they are now a pariah state. Mm-hmm. They're like Venezuela squared, and that doesn't go away very fast. So
yes,
this is going to have a lot of ramifications. Some of the output, I mean, their nickel output, Norilsk, at least it right now, is not actually sanctioned. But what you are seeing is there's so much pressure on governments and on companies from consumers and buyers of the Western companies' products saying, don't you dare source anything in Russia, mm-hmm. that I think you're going to see a drop-off in supply. Even if they're not sanctioned, they're being sort of self-sanctioned. And so, yeah, do mm-hmm. I think nickel can stay at $40? Well, no, duh. That was a one-off short squeeze. But
yeah,
is it going to be 15 or 20? Like, that wouldn't surprise me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's one of the reasons, like, I don't follow a lot of nickel deals. I follow FPX, and they're going to be presenting in my block on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it, I've always liked FPX. My brother Dave, who you were good friends with,
yes,
he loved this deal. Just, it's such a weird, it's this weird nickel iron alloy. And what they do is they mine and produce a concentrate of the alloy. And it actually has very high nickel content. It's much higher nickel content than your standard sulfide. But they're also working on a process to make nickel sulfate directly, and that's basically an input that goes directly into battery manufacturers. The market doesn't really understand how good people look at the grades of this, and it freaks them out. They kind of go like 0.13%, like what the hell? But when you look at how they can process it and how they can make these products, the actual margins on this are very good, and it's a very, very, very large deposit. I think the market's just starting to figure that one out, so I like that one a lot. Just
where is the project, Eric?
It's in northern BC.
Uh-huh. Good. Okay.
It's basically about 0.13, but they've got a billion tons, mm-hmm. basically proven and probable, and there's another area right next to the one that's seen most of the drilling that's probably the same size or bigger, so they probably got a couple billion tons of this stuff. And mm-hmm. like I said, those grades sound ridiculous, but really all they have to do with this stuff is a grind and magnetic separation and float it, and there you go. You have 65% nickel concentrate, which nobody else can produce. I mean,
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, and then these guys are not, you know, they're not giving anybody any illusions. They spend a lot of time, you know, improving the logistics, improving the economics. That there's a way to probably make the carbon footprint on this mine very small. And mm-hmm. there's no pretense from these guys. They're like, look, we're, you know, we're waiting for Company X to come and take us out.
Okay.
Of the mine. That's what this is, right? It's not, they don't really want to build it.
Oh, okay. All right. I see about $214 million market cap. Does that sound right? About 83 cents,
yeah.
Something like that? Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's had a pretty big move in the last couple of days, not surprisingly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some other things. Well, what Vizsla Silver, Pan Global Resources? Yeah.
Yeah, Vizsla. I mean, I love Vizsla. It's a great story. They just put out a 105 million ounce silver equivalent, and the silver equivalent was virtually all silver and gold. You know, high grade resource, high 300 gram per ton stuff. All of the wireframes that resource is on, they're all wide open. There's tons of veins they haven't even touched yet. They're about to start flying an airborne survey, an EM survey that'll probably give them another 20 or 30 targets. They own it 100% outright, and that includes a 500-ton-a-day mill. All that stuff is permitted. I own a fair amount of the stock, and it's a very mm-hmm. high, for me, it's a very high confidence holding. I mean, I'll be shocked if the stock doesn't double in the next 12 months. It's one of those. And plus, they're drilling 120,000 meters with 13 rigs, so there's just going to be news, news, news.
Wow, constantly. Wow. Oh, good. Sounds very exciting. I guess we got another minute or two yet. What about Pan Global? That's one you've talked about before.
Yeah, that's another one. That's another very high conviction one for me. Great, great management team. They've already probably got, I don't know, 25, 30 million tons. I mean, I'm completely pulling that number around my behind, to be honest, at La Romana. But La Romana is the first gravity target that they tested, and they're in the Iberian Pyrite Belt in Spain, and in that belt, gravity is an extremely effective tool. And the reason why that's important is they just finished getting additional property to the east and north granted about 2 months ago. That property has another 11 gravity targets on it. They just reported a hole from one of those this morning that was like, I don't know, it was like 9 meters of a percent and a half copper. But they have, you know, all of those targets have a really good shot at being something like La Romana, which they've been drilling for the last 18 months. They've got lots of cash. I don't know how many meters. I mean, they said this morning they're going to do 20,000 meters on these new targets, but I would expect that to just get expanded and expanded, and probably the rig count get expanded. If they're having success on a given target, they probably just leave the rig there and get another one for the next target. So it's another one where there's just going to be news flow.
Yeah, I see 74 cents. 74 cents. It's PGZ.
Yeah.
150 million market cap, more or less. So, yeah. And then another one that I follow as well, thanks to you, is Sun Summit Minerals. You want to talk about that one? 42 cents, 28 million market cap, a real low market cap.
It's a really low market cap. I mean, Buck has got a lot of gold on it. I mean, they've pulled a lot of long gold intercepts. It's been difficult for them to figure out how to chase this just because it's a very, very big hydrothermal system. There's multiple pulses. So the last program they did was basically grid drilling. And even if you ask Bob Willis, he'd tell you, you know, promotionally that probably wasn't the best thing to do, but we had to do it. We needed to get a bunch of sections so we could start figuring out how the dots connect and be able to actually vector this stuff. And they've got a much better handle now. I'm hoping to do a call with Bob in about a week. He's waiting to get a bunch of graphics from the consultants in terms of, okay, this is what the grid drilling did for us. But the bottom line is they're closing a $6 million placement right about now. That's enough for them to drill another, you know, 30,000 meters probably. They've got a rig going right now. And what they're doing right now is chasing some of the higher grade stuff that they didn't chase with the grid drilling. The grid drilling was not intended to follow up on the high grade stuff. It was intended to just let them try to figure out the system. So the stuff they're drilling now, I think is much higher probability of being kind of, you know, a boomer drill hole here and there that gets people excited. Plus I think Buck is going to, I think when the day comes, and I don't know when it's going to be that they do a resource, I think people are going to be surprised how many ounces are on this project. This is a big, big, big mineralized system. It's very big.
Very large and open pittable on surface, huh? I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're you don't always get the sexy holes when you're going for bulk tonnage, but Bob isn't a geo, he's a mining engineer, and Bob and I are quite close friends, and Bob just says, look, you know, this is, I know people want sexy high grade, but that's not where you build the ounces. And he said, I'm a mining engineer, I wouldn't be drilling this thing if I didn't think it was going to work.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, there's some extra really exciting stories right there, Eric, and a lot more, I'm sure, from other newsletter writers as well.
There's a really good lineup. Really good lineup.
A good lineup, and a lot of newsletter writers there as well. So, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us, and I'll look forward to seeing you up there in beautiful British Columbia. Thank you,
and
Eric.
And Jay Taylor fans, I'll try not to get him too hung over this time when we go out for dinner. No promise.
No, in my old age, I don't do that anymore.
We'll see.
I'm finding it's kind of nice to be awake, you know, and alive, and I don't know. But you could when you're a lot younger, you could do things you can't do when you're 75, Eric. So you'll find out.
Overrated, Jay.
You'll find out in 20 years from now or so. You'll find out.
Yeah, right. No, I got a pretty good idea already. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Eric, for being with us. All right, folks. Well, we do have to go to break, but Alistair MacLeod will be with us when we return to talk about how the Ukraine fits into our rapidly changing geopolitical landscape. We'll be right back with Alistair MacLeod.
follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co. Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa. Play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.